This is episode number 18 with the 4-foot giant, Kyle Maynard. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, greats? Hope you're having a fantastic day today. This is going to be an amazing episode because I've got my good man and awesome friend on here, Kyle Maynard. Now, Kyle has been an inspiration of mine for the last few years since I first met him. And every time I have an excuse about anything, I think about Kyle, his story, and his life. Very inspiring guy. I want to get to Kyle here in just a second, but I want to get to the quote of the day first. And this is inspired by a previous episode with Don Yeager, where he shared this quote. He says, "A loss is not a failure until you make an excuse." And that's quoting Michael Jordan. And there's a lot of excuses we make every single day, whether it be in sports or business or life or whatever it is we're trying to achieve. We've always got excuses. I've got them. You've got them. We've all had them. And they're a bunch of BS, if you ask me. So we're going to talk about how to get over these excuses. And Kyle is an exceptional individual to talk about having no excuses. A guy that was born without arms and legs, who has done probably more, has accomplished more things than, you know, me and a bunch of other people combined who have arms and legs. This is a guy who's climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro on his elbows, essentially. Crawled up a mountain. Took him 12 days, I think. He's won 2 ESPY Awards for being the most inspiring athlete in the world, basically. And he's just an amazing individual. And he's here in the studio with us today. I'm super pumped. But before I bring him in and let him share kind of some of his experiences about how to overcome these excuses and achieve some of the craziest things that you can achieve in your own life, I want to talk about quickly the fan of the week. And the fan of the week comes from Michael Lynch. And he sent me an email just the other day saying that his brother is a Marine who's in Afghanistan. And they've been listening, him and all of his Marine buddies have been listening to the podcast, and they're big fans. So just want to say a quick shout out to those Marines out there in northern Afghanistan, I guess he said when he emailed me. So thanks to all you guys listening. Appreciate what you guys do. And hopefully this has been some good stuff for you guys. I want to give a quick shout out to the review of the week. And this comes from reviewer EXP14. And the title is "Drives Me to Be My Best." He says, "Great podcast. I drive an hour to work every day, and this podcast inspires me and keeps me awake while on the road. I was able to listen to all the podcasts in a week and a half. Keep them coming. The guest interviews are my favorite." So I'm glad I'm able to keep people awake when they are driving to work. So if that's what this is doing for people, then at least I'm keeping you guys safe on the road. And hopefully there's some inspiration in there as well. With that, guys, this is a big week for me. One, because it's the national championships, the USA national championships in team handball. And again, a lot of people in the U.S. have no clue what team handball is. If you're one of the listeners from Europe, you're probably very familiar with the sport because it's a very popular sport throughout all of Europe. But for me, I've been training nonstop, doing a lot of CrossFit. Big shout out to Brick CrossFit and all the coaches and athletes over there who've just been supporting me and pushing me to stay in shape every single day and train me to be a better athlete. I am pumped about this. In a couple days, I'll be flying out to Reno, Nevada for the USA National Championships, trying to bring home the gold for New York City team handball. So I'm pumped about this. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. And hopefully in this next episode, you'll hear some good news coming back from me. With that, guys, we're going to learn all about how to overcome your BS excuses and learn from a true champion in this world with Kyle Maynard.
Yeah.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format helps you learn at your own pace and fit earning a degree into your life. From before you enroll to after you graduate, you'll be supported by people who are invested in your success so you can pursue your goals, knowing that help is available if you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness. All right, welcome everyone. I'm here with my good friend Kyle Maynard. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, man. I'm a big fan of the show, so I'm just excited to be on here.
Yeah, man. Cool. We just got done with a sweet workout at Brick CrossFit here in West Hollywood, and Kyle almost dropped a 70-pound kettlebell right on his private parts. So that was an interesting moment.
Yeah, full-blown castration. It was would have given probably never happened at Brick CrossFit before, although it's a pretty intense gym, so maybe they would have had it.
Exactly.
Now, first time for me.
Now, Kyle, for those who don't know, Kyle was born with no arms, no legs. And so it's kind of weird to hear me say, but he's holding a kettlebell at 70 pounds. So it's pretty inspiring what he's able to do. And what is it actually, what's the thing called when you're born with no arms and legs? What is that?
It called? Really, there's not any clear explanation. Doctors didn't have any idea what caused the disorder, disability to happen when I was born. It's kind of referred to as congenital amputation. So to give people a visual, basically My arms end right where your elbow would be.
Yep.
For each arm, they're both about same length, and my legs end slightly above where the knee is, and I have 2 feet, but so there's a little bit different, like I don't know, one would feel like an upside down foot. That's like my right, my right. Trigger foot in Halo for Xbox. But basically just four limbs affected, which is about, I think the estimate was like 1 in 10 million or something like that.
Crazy. Now, how tall are you?
That's a good question.
Just so people know.
I can touch like my tippy toes in the 4 foot part of the pool, if that
So you're like 3-something.
I think I'm like 3'8", 3'9".
3'9", so you're like a 4 foot giant, is what I'll call you.
Four foot giant.
Cool.
See if that .com, see if that name is taken. Exactly. Some cyber squatter on there is gonna go and get this.
I like it. Now, Kyle, I'm gonna brag for Kyle for a minute. He has done some amazing feats and accomplishments. In middle school, you played football. Now again, remember, imagine a 4 foot giant without arms and legs. This is Kyle who we're talking to right now. He's playing football with other middle schoolers. Then in high school, he was one of the top wrestlers in high school, one of the top 15, is that right? Once you ranked like top 10?
Yeah, I ended up, I mean, kind of the story is with that, we may go into a little bit more, but I had lost a ton. I mean, really, well, you know, football was actually something that came natural to me. Sure. Down there on all fours, and right. You know, in the very first play that I ever took, very first snap that I ever took, I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I was playing nose guard right across from the center. And so I knew he was going to go and snap the ball between his legs. And so I figured, like, my job was to go and follow it. So as soon as he snaps the ball between his legs, I just dove underneath his legs and smashed my helmet in the quarterback shins. The first play got the sack.
Wow.
So it was, guys kind of figured out how to go and block and stuff like that. But, you know, it was pretty decent. You know, it's, you know, the thing or two about football, it's all about getting lower than somebody and driving them off the ball. And nobody's getting lower than me down there on the ground. So the, with wrestling, though, it started off and it was really bad. It's kind of easy to go and talk to people about successes with stuff, but I had to fail a ton. You know, I lost every match for a year and a half, so 35 times in a row.
The freshman and sophomore year, right?
It was started in sixth grade, so in middle school, around the same time as playing football there. And the thing was, you know, I was having a blast playing football, and then with wrestling, you know, I'd sit in these tournaments and people would go and say, like, you know, Kyle doesn't have hands to go and grab someone or arms long enough to get out and grab their legs or all this stuff. And they'd make a blanket statement, which kind of makes sense, you know, logically out of context. But it's, you know, they'd say a guy without arms and legs would never be able to win a match in wrestling. And for a while, I bought into that belief.
For a year and a half, you didn't win any, right?
Any, yeah. I mean, I'd be crying going out to every one of these tournaments and begging to quit. But my parents, you know, they kept me going.
So what was it like, your first win? What was that like?
I remember it vividly, and I think I was more shocked than the guy that I beat, because like I remember grabbing his arm and flipping him and landing on top of him and being like, this is awesome, but I have no idea what to do now. I was so lost, and so I figured I'd just go and do the same thing again. My dad saw that I was lost and told me to let him up, and so I just went in after him again, grabbed his arm, took him down, let him up. Figured this is working, I'm gonna keep doing it. Took him down and let him up.
So you didn't pin him, but you
took him down 15 times, so they stopped the match and beat him by the mercy rule.
Wow.
That's amazing. And that was, yeah, so that's what I tell people. It's like it really had nothing to do with the physical side of things, right? It had everything to do with the fact that for a long time, you know, I bought into the belief of other people telling me that, you know, I'd never be able to win a match. And so I didn't.
Sure. That limiting belief that you just believed that you couldn't win because of the condition, right?
Yeah, you know, and then once you kind of, you know, we all have those moments, right, where we buy in, and we still do. You know, you and I mean, everybody on this planet, I don't care who we are, people are, you know, full of it if they say that they don't allow other people to go and affect their beliefs.
Sure.
And, you know, when you go and turn on the news and you go and, you know, for the business owners that are watching this, and, you know, the belief that's affected based off of other economic projections and other things like that.
Right, right.
There's so many things going on.
Or they're like, don't go outside because something's happening with the weather or whatever, you know.
It's exactly.
Just creating fear, these beliefs in our minds, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's, I think we got to go on and ask, like, what's real, what's not? Because that first time that we go and break through with something, then it, I mean, you can't go back and believe something then. Sure. At that point, I couldn't, you know, when people said I'd never win a match, that first one that I won, now it's like I can't, you know, never go back. So the next year after that, in eighth grade, I was undefeated going in the state tournament.
Wow.
So it was, you know, it had nothing to do with the physical. It was just, you know,
huh.
It was total.
It's all mental, right?
And it was a big part of it. Also, too, just kind of figuring out how to, you know, use my body and be comfortable with things and figure things out. Couldn't emulate other wrestlers to go and figure out their style.
Sure, sure. Now, in high school, what did you end up? Weren't you like one of the top in high school though for your weight?
Did class? Pretty good. So wrestled varsity for one of the top teams in the Southeast senior year of high school, and wrestled 103 pounds, which there's no way I'd be able to go and make that weight right now. I had to cut a good bit of it to make it in high school. And then ended up winning 36 varsity matches, beat a couple state champions, a couple state placers, and got invited to the nationals and placed That's top amazing. 12 in the nation.
That's amazing. Top 12 in the nation. Wow. Interesting. And so after that, you also got into MMA and fighting, right? Because it's naturally transitioned from wrestling to fighting, and you were the first guy without arms and legs to fight in a cage, like in a sanctioned MMA fight, right?
Right. You can see how stupid I am, too, for signing up for some of this stuff. I mean, there's a common thread here. I don't know. There's this MMA was a blast, though, and I've been training for a long time. That actually taught me a lot about myself, though, because it that was the first time that other people really voiced major disapproval with what I was doing. You know, with wrestling, people would go and say, like, oh, you'll never be able to win a match, you know, and they wouldn't say it directly to me necessarily, but, you know, I'd hear through the grapevine. With MMA,
they were like afraid for your life, probably, yeah. right? They were like, we don't want you to get your face knocked out, right?
Or other people that were hoping that it happened.
Mm.
You know, people's true colors kind of come out on the internet, right? Mm. When you can be behind an anonymous screen name, then there's sure. no...
Say whatever you want.
Yeah. So, you know, type my name into YouTube and you can see... If you probably pull it up right now and go and see some of the comments that people go and say. I mean, it's crazy. People said, Kyle's going to be the first... televised death in the sport.
Shut
have no
up.
Problem kicking my effing skull in.
Oh
like
my gosh.
People saying he's doing this because he's just a drama whore. Like
wow.
They're saying like Kyle's trying to get back on Oprah and all this stuff. Like
wow.
And there was even one comment that I'll never forget. Somebody said like come take a chainsaw and cut off my arms and legs so I can be a limbless freak show like Kyle.
Jeez, that's really bad. Wow.
So it's but then
now why did you want to do a fight then? What's the reason behind it for you?
And I generally kind of one of my core beliefs is that you got to have things that you're passionate about to be able to go and really just live to your potential, right?
Sure.
And I've been training for this. I didn't want to be a pro fighter, I had no
right.
delusions about that, and I just wanted to experience it,
right.
Because 99.9% of the fans, of the sport, they would never step into the cage, and that's okay. Maybe they're fans, but I didn't want to be afraid. I wanted
right.
to go in there and experience it.
Right.
And the cool part was I got denied to fight in Georgia, which was a big setback. The head commissioner was a paraplegic who was an off-duty police officer,
oh,
got shot in the spine. And he said, it's great what you're doing for people with disabilities. Like, I'll be out there to support you. And then 3 weeks later, I got denied. So it took 2 years. Went across. That's in the state of Georgia in my home state. I live outside of Atlanta. Went across the state line to do it in Alabama 2 years later. And I joke now that there's a little bit, which is true, there's a little bit less government regulation in Alabama, and I'm pretty sure they would have let me fight like a pack of hyenas in Alabama if I wanted to.
You and a bear.
That's a goal of mine. Like, don't joke. But then ended up, it was April 5th, 2009, I got to go and step into the cage, and I remember hearing that pin when they went and put it in the door and locked me inside, and I'm thinking like,
wow.
Whoa, I'm in
this
here
is
now.
Real.
This is real.
Yeah, and if you go search on YouTube, Kyle Maynard, cage fight or MMA, you'll see a video pop up, and it's like crazy and inspiring at the same time to watch this video, because you're literally just getting the shit beat out of you from a guy with
yeah,
arms and legs
totally.
Who's like a professional fighter, right? He was like a pro, wasn't he, or what?
I don't really know what his background
like
was. You
he
know,
was ripped. And
yeah,
he was like,
yeah. It was. I didn't try to get caught up into him. I actually did a ton of really cool stuff with guided imagery to go and get ready for the fight.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was mentally, I felt better than I ever did. And physically
Dude,
too.
You looked like. The video, you looked like you were ready to go, man. You were so in the zone. It's just there were so many moments where you like could tell after like the first round where you're getting frustrated because the guy wouldn't let you like get close to him.
Yep.
And he just kept like pegging you in the face. And,
yeah.
Like, he would not let you get close to like his legs.
This is a strategy to go and keep me sort of away. My fight, my goal is to go and bring it to the ground. You know, standing at 3'8", I'm not much of a kickboxer, so it's
right.
The but
it was like 5'10" or something,
up.
Wasn't he? Or how tall is he?
Something like that.
Something like
yeah,
that. Like 180, 5'10" or whatever. Yeah.
He but I really respect him for going in and taking the fight because a lot of people
right.
were I had several opponents that dropped out from it.
Really?
And
yeah.
People, when other people got on their case and saying like, "What are you doing?" and all this stuff,
right,
and
right.
so I definitely do respect him for it.
Yeah,
I wish it. You know, to me, I didn't care about the outcome. I wanted to be able to go in there and have the experience. And
yeah,
it was the coolest part was after the fight was over. It was just one of the most really tranquil moments that like one of those times where just like time stops for a second, and I could just go and look around. And just go and see, like, looking out through the cage. I mean, other people, friends and family that supported me, and I saw a lot of random faces. And for the first time, actually, I just felt sympathy for the people that said the things that they said.
Because
it was like, I'm sitting here inside the cage looking out, and the vast majority of them would never have this vantage point.
It's true, man.
So
how many people have experienced that? Maybe 1,000, maybe? Like, I don't even... Inside a cage, maybe a couple thousand
yeah.
people.
Sport's growing now. I mean, but it's still it brings that primal feeling out of you, and
yeah.
it's just we all have it. Yeah, we're at some point, you know, in our, you know, in the course of human history, I mean, like, that's ingrained in our DNA. Mm-hmm. So it's,
yeah. So that was cool. You did that. And then after that, you decided, you know what? I haven't done enough. So I'm going to go climb a mountain. You climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which is one of the tallest mountains in the world, right? I mean, what is it like?
Yeah, it's Kilimanjaro is the highest peak in Africa. So it's right there in the equator, in East Africa and Tanzania. And it's the highest freestanding peak in the world, meaning that it's not a part of a mountain chain like the Himalayas. There are many peaks in the Himalayas that are higher, but it's here, it's the only thing that's in your sight. So it's
a single mountain.
Single mountain.
Yeah, yeah. How tall is it?
19,340 feet.
Dang, that's high. That's really big. So you decided, you know what, I'm going to go climb this thing on my elbows, basically, and my knees, and crawl up the mountain. Are you the first person to crawl up a mountain?
I think so. Again, coming back to this stupidity, like signing up for this stuff. The craziest part to me was, though...
Remember people died on that mountain or no?
We knew that several died on our route. Actually, quite a few people do end up dying because many people attempted and aren't prepared.
And they die walking, and you crawled.
It was
pretty impressive.
It was definitely, it was indescribable. I remember the first couple of days were fun, you know, in the rainforest, my friends having a good time. And by the fourth day, though, my elbows and feet were swollen up so bad, I was broken.
And you have these special shoes over here, which are like, what are they? Carbon fiber?
Yeah, basically it's carbon fiber that goes around my arms and my feet, and it's padded on the inside, and it has a Vibram shoe sole on the outside. So it's just and it hooks up to a climbing harness. So it goes on my arms and my feet and just bear crawl.
This thing's very cool. I'm holding it right now, and it's like, it looks like the 5-finger Vibram sole, but then it's got this really hard casing and some foam inside. It's pretty sweet little contraption right here.
That thing, we got that gear we left January 3rd for Africa of 2012 and got the gear finalized December 15th. So it was like celestial alignment that everything pulled together.
That's crazy. Now, how long was the hike? How long did it take total?
12 and a half days.
12 and a half days. How long does it take for a normal, I guess, someone walking on 2 feet?
Generally, it takes about 7 round trips, 6 to 7, depending.
Round trip. And it took you 12 to just get up there.
12 and a half total. It was 10 total. Up and 2.5 down.
So almost double the amount of time.
Right.
Wow. And you had the same amount of crew as a normal pack would going up there, or did you have extra crew?
We did. We had a lot of camera equipment and stuff like that. We had it was a team of 9 of us from America. We had called it Mission Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm. One of our goals, my dad was Army, so I've got a big passion for working with veterans. I was born at an Army hospital. And so our goal was to go in, you know, just send a message to some of our troops that have literally sacrificed their limbs for our freedom, to go and say, you know what, you may have had this happen to you, but you're still able to live the life that you want. Right. You're still able to go and create the life that you want. You're not a victim. It might not be Kilimanjaro, but you've got something that you want to do.
Right, right. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When you want the best, you have to act
quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
It's pretty inspiring. And then ESPN ended up doing a documentary about it, and if you guys go check on YouTube again and just type in ESPN Cal Manager, you'll see him climb up the mountain. It's pretty inspiring. And then you also won 2 ESPY awards. One was for climbing Kilimanjaro, right?
Right.
And then the other one is for what?
Wrestling and weightlifting.
Wrestling and weightlifting.
Right.
Okay. What did you do in weightlifting?
Actually, competed. I started with 5 pounds, basically. And when I started lifting, I could barely, middle school and,
right.
and always wondered, like, will I ever be able to go and lift more than this? I'm looking at these other high school kids lifting, and gradually kept working up and getting stronger. I used to tie ropes around my arms and lift off my back. My favorite lift was a butterfly press, modified bench press.
Oh, nice.
And I had ropes that I broke and ended up getting chains, broke those chains, got bigger ones, and had, in 2009, right before the MMA fight, the personal best in a bench press did 420 pounds.
Wow. So you rope around your elbows.
Chains,
you
had
the chains around the elbows, and then...
And then
400,
like,
how much?
Tied, so it would have been 210 to each arm with
kettlebells. 210 pounds on each
arm. Kettlebells.
So you're basically lying on your back.
Right.
With your arms like Jesus, and then folding them, bringing them together for a visual for people, with 200 something pounds on each arm. That's pretty impressive. Basically at your elbow that you're lifting up. So, man, is that a record, or what is that?
That wasn't the record. I did compete for the record in my, it was modified bench press, in the Arnold Classic. I think it was in 2007, and lifted 360 pounds at the competition there.
Okay, what's the record, do you know?
That was the record. That, and then for whatever it was, the, and I got that to lift at the GNC Show of Strength. It was in Atlanta. I did 240 pounds for 23 repetitions.
Oh, wow. 23? 240. Wow. My best was ever was like 225 for like 15 reps. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. The goal now, though, is just to go and say that it's, I think it's a lot of us, we kind of draw a separation with things. So we think that like these lessons that we go and learn are different, and they're not. You know, the physical lessons are very similar to the entrepreneurial lessons, or the other bigger goals that we have in life in terms of seeking our purpose.
Right, right. So now it seems like, you know, while you've been doing all these awesome adventures for yourself, you're basically trying to say, okay, what is it that I'm not able to do, and how can I do it? How can I figure out a way to do it? It sounds like it's kind of been your whole life, because you were born without arms and legs. So you've had to modify and adjust and be adaptive to everything, everyday life.
Right.
You've got your own car to drive. You got your own place. You do everything on your own. And you've tried to take on these challenges, just like people said, I could never run a 4-minute mile.
Sure.
And then someone did it, and now everyone can do it now. So you're taking this approach to yourself to say, okay, can I find a cage? Can I do CrossFit? How can I do the same workouts as other people? How can I?
And then if we go there too, how can we go and help other people figure out the same thing?
Right.
I think that's really the truest purpose, is to go and say, it's not just about us, right?
Yes.
If you talk to some of the Navy SEALs, for instance, I've got a couple good friends. I just did this 13-hour Navy SEAL challenge. It was awesome and terrible at the same time. But these guys, I was talking to them, like, how do you go and get through BUDS training? How do you go and get through Hell Week? And they would say, you take eyes off of yourself and you put it on your team, you put it on your swim buddy, and you put it on the people around you. And that's, I think, an important lesson, is that we've sometimes got to realize, like, why are we doing what we're doing?
Right. And for me, I've always felt like, you know, I want to take on challenges and opportunities that inspire me personally, but also through me being inspired, hopefully it's inspiring and helping other people, you know, take on challenges for themselves.
Well, it's contagious. Like the people that end up around, you know, we were talking to your brother earlier today and like, it's, I mean, you just in close proximity to people that are living their dreams and it spreads.
It does. It does.
It's a virus. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. If it's all about yourself, then it's not going to help as many people, obviously, and it's not going to help you. But when you think about like, okay, this is serving me, but also serving whoever, my community, my family, the world, then usually we're able to break even bigger limitations.
That's a key too, as you mentioned something there. It's like, it's serving me. I think that's one of the things that I've had to learn the most is last year, we've talked extensively about this, but I mean, I was on the road, traveling, doing the speaking thing.
200 days or whatever, right?
Like over 250 days speaking, traveling. And I love what I get to do. It's my biggest passion, but the catch is like, you got to be on the road that much. And so it's tough. And a lot of times it's hard to take care of yourself when you're doing that. And the metaphor that I think about all the time is every time that they go through the in-flight briefing, when you sit down in an airplane and the oxygen mask falls, put your own mask on first.
Exactly.
Don't put the kids on next to you. Don't put the person who needs help. Put your own mask on first.
And that's everyday life, man. It should be focus on you first. It's like you have to be selfish in a sense, like to make sure you're fully taken care of yourself. All your needs are met, your wants, everything. Then you can help others.
Absolutely.
But when you put like yourself second and you're always putting others first, you can only serve so much. That's why I'm always like making sure I take so much time for myself every day to eat right, to train right. Like I don't sacrifice my time that I need for me. And whether that's selfish or not, it is what it is, because it's the only way I'm going to be able to serve.
Putting your oxygen mask on. Exactly. You know, you're able to, at that point, to be able to go in and help other people. Exactly. And without that, then you limit your ability to.
Limited, yeah. So you got to be selfish in some ways.
This sounds crazy, but I think that by focusing on yourself, it's the most selfless thing that you can do.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I think you take care of that and you're able to now say, but if you stop there, then maybe it is a selfish thing. But
if you're just
focusing on yourself, right.
But you need to focus on your growing and learning and gaining new skills so you can help more people.
I always think about at every single level in the world, if you look at the biggest, universal level intergalactic systems, I mean, we've got, as stuff is moving, this Earth is spinning like 20,000 miles per hour through space, right? And then down to the tiniest subatomic level, like the Planck scale, the 10 to the negative 26 centimeters, like every single level in between, everything is moving. There's motion constantly.
Yeah. Even so, this table.
This table's everything. Moving, right? Yep. So it's like, what direction is our life moving?
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. What direction is your life moving in?
Put me on the spot. I hope it's, I think I've had an awakening lately that I needed to have.
Sure.
I sometimes have to kind of eat some of my own dog food. Uh-huh. When I speak, I challenge people to think about what is the one thing in your life that you can change that is keeping you from reaching your highest human potential.
Right. What's the one thing keeping you from reaching your highest human potential?
If you could only pick one thing in your life.
What's your one thing? And it probably changes.
It changes.
Every couple of years or something, or, even.
Right now, I don't know how to go and sum this up into one word. It's being just on top of communication, correspondence, getting back to people. Like I am very much like a kind of a present-minded, focused person. When I'm going and doing a speech, I'll try to be there with the group. But I have to, like I'm sometimes I'll linger. I'll let 1,000 emails go and pile up, and then I feel overwhelmed and I don't go in and handle it.
When you don't do anything. Right? You're like
paralyzed.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that anymore.
So now you're more on top of it. You're staying.
But by focusing on that, if I brought my whole, if I tried to go and say, all right, I'm going to go and do 20 things at once. I'm going to go and have more time. I'm going to have more time to vacation. I'm going to go and read more books. I'm going to go and have the long walks on the beach. I'm going to go and do this, do that. I'm going to go and start a new business. I'm going to go and whatever else. It's like, we can't do it. We get burnt out. That's like New Year's resolutions, right? You go and write down 20 things you want to change.
You don't change any. Right.
3 weeks later, after New Year's resolutions, it's painful for us to look at the list of stuff we want to change.
And we haven't done anything.
Nothing.
Maybe for a week we did one thing and then stopped, right?
So what's your one thing? What's your one thing you could change?
The biggest thing holding me back from achieving greatness?
From achieving greatness.
Oh, man, I haven't thought about it, but probably, man, learning when to say no. Because for when I started my business a few years ago, I was just like yes to everything because I just wanted to like help everyone and be there at every event and speak everywhere.
Right.
And so now it's learning to like how to manage my time efficiently and effectively so that I'm not freely giving it to things that aren't going to serve me to the highest value and serve others to the highest value. So that's probably not the biggest thing, but that's just the thing that popped in my head right now.
That's a huge one, man. Yeah. Think about what this is sometimes in the entrepreneurial world, an overused example, but look at the Steve Jobs example.
Yeah.
When he came back into Apple, they had 50 products that they're going and doing, and he said, no, we're gonna stop. We're gonna do
five or whatever.
Five, yeah. Right.
And make them amazing.
And yeah. And world changing products, right? We can't do that when we're spread so thin. It's
exactly.
True.
I'd pull it back and say managing energy in general. Probably just managing energy, my time efficiently throughout the day, knowing when to do things, when to get things done, and not allowing things to take too much time. So probably just managing all that. And I think, you know, as relationships coming out of your life, plus personally, business-wise, family-wise, things like that, your energy changes, your time changes. So you have to be able to adapt and be flexible to that. So
here's the next question. Yes. With that. Like, if you could think of, and for everyone that's doing this, right, then I think going through this process helps us think about this sometimes. And I do it myself. Every time I talk, I get to go and think about this, which I'm fortunate to. What is about managing your energy? What's one excuse that you've made about that?
So I think one of the excuses that I make about managing energy is really figuring out the time that I'm doing things and when I'm supposed to get it all done. You know, I might build up a lot of different projects and I try to get it all done myself as opposed to, I guess, bringing on the right people who are better than me at certain things, managing tasks and projects and getting them on board. So I'd say that my excuse is either I like to do it all myself, or maybe I can't find the right people sometimes. Although a lot of times I feel like I do, but that's probably one of them.
So if you could start there and change that one thing, what would you do differently?
If I could change one thing, I'd probably find the right people to help coach me in managing my time better, learning how to say no better, and also finding the right people to then manage that time for me. The tasks that take an extra 10, 20 minutes here and there throughout the day. Basically having a full-time assistant or project manager or, you know, something like that.
Sure. So just hypothetically, if you envision what your life, your business looks like a year from today after changing that one thing, how different would it be?
After changing it, it's easier, it's efficient, it's seamless, it's even more exciting. It's all those things combined.
Well, there you go. So do it. And like, if you focus, the coolest part is I think that anyone that's listening to this is able to go through this, and it might be different for every one of us. I think that it is. If I speak to a room of 1,000 people, it might be 1,000 different things that people want to go and do and change, which makes it kind of hard to really narrow and pinpoint it down. You have to get specific and exact about it. And then I think you have to focus on one thing. Like we talked about before, the laundry list things that you want to go and do and change, you fall on your face. If you try to go and change too many things at once.
Right. Now, what do you think is one of the biggest things that holds people back? Is it the way they were raised with their family and the mentality of the things that were said to them? Is it their own inner voice, their own limiting beliefs? Is it their peers saying they can't do something, like how people said you would never win a match? What do you think is the biggest thing that holds people back?
That's a really good question. I think it's just speaking from my own experience, I think sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. I can go in and just chunk something up to make it, you know, just seem like way too huge, way too big to go and take it on. And then I don't, and I hesitate. But that being said, some things like, for instance, like the past and the stuff that happened to us there, good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter because we can't change it. When I was younger, when I was 10 years old, I used to like cry myself to sleep some nights, right. You know, because I would, we would just wish that I would go in and wake up and have arms and legs. And it, like, no matter how hard I would have focused on that forever, it never would have happened.
Right.
So when we go and focus on those things that we have no control over, then it brings us nothing but unhappiness.
So you feel like we're our own worst enemies. Basically.
Well, but we're also too, our greatest ally in terms of our capability to get past it. But I think it's, yeah. I think we are very like, we can be incredibly motivated, but I think we're very vague a lot of times in what we really truly want. I think we need to really get clear.
So the more clear we are in the things we want, the easier it is to get them.
Sure.
That's good what you're saying.
Well, how do you, you know, for instance, I mean, how does someone define greatness in their own life?
Well, like, what's your definition? I usually ask this at the end, but I'll ask it now since you brought it
up. Well, I knew ahead of time that you were going to ask that eventually, so we had to talk about it. My definition of greatness would be trying to find my own true potential in my life, whatever potential exists, and then using whatever I was given there and whatever I worked for to be able to go and help other people do the same. Mm. That to me is, whether that's helping kids that grew up with a totally different background, maybe, you know, in a poor neighborhood or something like that, or someone who's gone through some type of injury, or even somebody who just is kind of going through living life in the status quo and being in a mediocre place, like helping them go and move to just something greater. And in the process, trying to go and do that and live it myself. Cause if we're not being authentic, then I mean, that kind of sucks. I've been there before too.
Now, who's someone who's really inspiring to you that you look up to?
So here's something kind of messed up. If you'd asked me this like 6 months ago, I would have probably said Lance Armstrong and Oscar Pistorius.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. Well, the guy, for those that don't know, Oscar's his name, right?
Yeah.
The guy who has no legs but ran the Olympics for South Africa, who is basically a, you know, a hero to so many people and a legend, and would sell out track meets leading up to the Olympics and get paid a lot of money to come and do that. The guy who, you know, broke records and all sorts of things, but now he's on trial, I guess, for
murdering
his girlfriend, right? Or his wife, or okay, so him and then Lance Armstrong, right. Who is obviously, everyone knows that story. So those were your two guys that you thought defined greatness.
Yeah, and there are, you know, a handful of other speakers and other people like that too that I go in and really truly admire. I mean, from a business perspective, if I had to go and pick one person, I would say Tony Robbins.
He's good.
He had Tony had a, I mean, from a, just from looking at it from a business perspective alone, he had a $400 million IPO with Anthony Robbins Inc. Basically amazing. Took his name, publicly traded. I mean, there's nobody that's ever done that in the world of motivation. But I think it's all about, to me, having like sort of like the whole picture, the whole grand scheme, like, and not just being great in one thing, but like ecologically balanced life.
It's interesting you say that, because Don Yeager, who was just on the previous episode, I can't remember the reference he used, but basically like the best football player in the world, if they don't have a great balance of life, if they're not continuing to grow in other areas of life, he's like, that is not greatness to me. No, he said this actually about Tiger Woods. He said, you think Tiger Woods is, you know, defines greatness. He said he's a great golfer, but I don't use him in my definition of greatness because of everything else in his life.
Sure.
And because it's not balanced.
Yeah, it's not balanced.
It's just one mind, one thing. Focus.
Right.
And so you have a very similar.
I'll give you one person, though, that really like stands out to me. And this isn't somebody who's like a big celebrity, but he's something that's really important to me in my life. And a guy named Sergeant Travis Mills. And I met him, Sergeant Mills, Travis. He was, I call him Mayor Mills. He knows everybody. And I mean, just the guy's a crack up. But I met him 3 weeks after he lost all four limbs. Mm. He set his book bag down on an IED, and a chain of like 17 IEDs went off. Wow. And lost all four limbs. And basically his initial response was like, he didn't want the medic to do anything. He just wanted to like, just go, just pass. Wow. And then the guy's like, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And he's like, dude, I got no arms and legs. Like, it's pretty bad. And, so then they go in and stabilize him. They get him back to Walter Reed Army Hospital in DC, and he's laying in the hospital bed there. And I met him about 3 weeks after he came back and came in the room, and this guy's spirit was just like palpable. Like you just touch it. I mean, it was amazing. And, so we hung out, I got to sign like a book for him and just like sign a DVD for him. I mean, just took a bunch of pictures together, talked for like 3 hours, guys, I mean, cracking us up the whole time. And afterwards we left, and they had to go and put him back in a short-term coma to go and deal with the pain. And he lost his short-term memory from this coma that briefly they put him in. And So he's got these pictures and books and stuff like that of meeting me and hanging out, and he's like, has no memory of it. And so it was the first time that I ever met somebody for the second time, like, you know, in a row, and them having no recollection of it. I wondered how that was going to go. But so I came in and we hung out again. Awesome dude. And this is a couple weeks later after that. And so long story short, he goes and like pulls me over to the side and he's like, dude, like, you got to be straight and level with me. Was I as cool as the first time we hung out?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, nah, man, you were way more drugged up last time. So, but that guy epitomizes this, that there is that saying that we've probably all heard, that life is not what happens to us, but a reaction response to it. You know, it's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of what you do with it.
How you react.
How you react to it.
Your attitude, your response, yeah.
Yeah, and the deal is that I don't have any idea what it's like to lose. I was born without my arms and legs.
Right.
So I have no perspective of that.
Born and this is how it was.
Exactly.
It's nothing new for you, I mean.
But you know what? Even though we go through huge, huge losses, and some people go through enormous things, it doesn't have to shape your perspective and who you are.
Right. Your mindset,
right.
Your attitude, your gratitude, all those different things, because you can always be grateful for something.
Yeah. And there is very real mental challenge and mental illness. I mean, that's
right.
Undeniable. However, I would say, at the same time, our perspective is always our choice.
Yes.
Everything that happens to us, and this is something where I've got to eat my own dog food with this a lot, right? Because I'll go and like whine and complain, like, oh, woe is me, like the flight cancellation, oh, my day's ruined, like whatever. And then I'm like, all right, sit back and step out. And like, in the grand scheme of my life, is this going to matter?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. We met back at Tim Ferriss's event, was that like 2 years ago almost now?
Something like that.
A year and a half, 2 years ago.
We're getting old. Like, don't date us.
Yeah, right. I think it was like, when was that? Like August of 2011 or something? Or somewhere around there. Anyways, we met there and I remember hearing about your story then and then doing more research on you and being really inspired by it. We've become friends over the last couple of years, hung out a bunch. And, you know, whenever like shit would hit the fan for me, over the last couple of years, I somehow automatically come back to thinking about you. And I'm like, gosh, there's nothing to be ungrateful. I mean, there's nothing to be ungrateful for. There's things that I can be unhappy about.
Sure.
And be like, I don't like this, so I'm going to change it or whatever. But it's like, whenever something like happens that I feel is like bad or I could be depressed, I'm like, you know what? I've got my arms and legs. And I was thinking about you. And I'm like, geez, if Kyle can just be like doing all this cool stuff he's doing, then so can I. And I don't have to like have a bad attitude about it. So I'm always reminded by that. And I appreciate it. Our friendship and be able to hang out and
well, I think we got it. That's another thing too, is that we have to be around other people that do help us out. You know,
yeah, it's exactly.
Jim Rohn, one of my favorite motivational leaders. You know, from a guy that I really admire. Mm. He lived, I had never met him, but I think he lived a pretty cool life.
Yeah,
and he said, that we are probably most impacted by the five people we spend the most time with.
Yeah,
and I think that's true.
It's true. That's true. I'm a big fan of mentors, and I think mentors are the key to really getting to where you want to be faster than you can do it any other way, and achieving greatness. You can't really achieve greatness without mentors, coaches.
It's funny to say that, because I used to be opposed to it.
Really?
Yeah.
You wanted to like be the lone wolf and
kind of
on your own? And
I thought that it's like, in a way that it's like...
cheating or something.
It's like you're not being original, you're not being your true self or something like that. And then I met my mentor and a guy that's his name is Ron Shapiro, sports agent. He's really helped me a tremendous
Ron
amount.
Shapiro?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's
he's a friend of yours with the agent for Cal Ripken?
Yeah.
No way. I know Ron. I've interviewed him.
Have you really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's hilarious.
But Ron is
smart guy, man.
Incredibly smart. And like, you know, and I didn't know how much I didn't know until I spent time with him. And
his son is the GM of like the Indians, or what is it?
His son's the GM of the Indians.
Yeah,
his son-in-law, Eric Mangini, was coach of the Jets and the Browns.
That's hilarious.
So he's done some amazing stuff. And I think, but Ron too is another guy that I'd look up to and admire, because the deal is with Ron is that if he had solely monetized his life, he probably could have been a billionaire.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, he's done extraordinarily well, but he's now got an amazing marriage. He's got, you know, amazing grandkids, and he's got a good business where he's got, you know, a handful of really quality people that work for him, and it's not overextended. And I look at that and I'm like, wow, like that's a pretty cool life. And he just got back, you know, did a cruise around the world and like spent time with his wife for like 6-8 weeks. And, you know, it's that, that to me is, but it's also too, it's living for something bigger. It's taken that now and he can go and not just with me, but the other people that he's helped, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that he helps. He can go and take these lessons that he's learned and impart them on other people. So that I sent him an email about this recently and said, like, you know, before I met you, like, I hated that word mentor, which he's a big advocate of.
That's funny.
And it's like, but it's, it taught me how much I didn't know. That's for sure.
It's funny. Every successful individual I talk with and meet, they always have a coach or a mentor. They either hire someone or they have someone that's, you know, mentoring them. And they talk about how important it is to have someone to be able to analyze what you're doing and just help you make the right decisions, you know, lead you in the right way. And I'm a big believer in that. So tell me, you've been speaking all around the country and I guess all around the world as well for the last 10 years or something. And you have spoken in front of probably how many people? I don't know, a few hundred thousand people.
Yeah, I tried to do the math on that recently. I have no idea, but probably in a couple hundred thousand.
A few hundred thousand people. And you've heard a lot of crazy stories. You've met a lot of inspiring people, people who have had challenges, lost limbs, you know, got fired, bankruptcy, everything. And what is like the average characteristics of like, what's the one person that you see almost all the time you go somewhere? Like, who's like, what do they do? What do they think? What are their doubts, their fears? There's got to be like an example of one person that like you hear about all the time where they're always like, oh, you know, I'm struggling with this, or I want to get a raise, or I want to do this, but they have some type of limitation or some type of thing they need to break through. What does that person look like to you?
Well, I think it starts with, I mean, like you identified that there is that like latent dream there. That's that thing that like, you know that you want to do, but you haven't done. Maybe it's doing Kilimanjaro. Maybe it's going and, right. and just, you know, making your first $1,000 from a speech. Maybe it's going and writing a book. Maybe it's starting a business. And then we think about it, and then years go by and we don't do it. We don't go and quit our job so that we could go and start something else. We'll go and deal with the same 9-to-5 and the same thing, the same medical, And the deal is that time, like our time on this planet, is the one resource we never get back.
Yeah.
It's even a, you know, more finite resource than any crude oil, any single thing. I mean, it's exhaustible and it's going right now. Mm-hmm. And instead of stressing about that too and freaking out, then just think like, what would I really want to do in my life if I couldn't fail? If I took failure out of it, I mean, you got to go through the suffering and the failure to get there. But at the same time, if we just take that out of there, like what would you want your life to look like if you were the architect? And just start. I think that that's a big part of it is we wait and we hesitate and we put the stuff off.
So not taking action. When we were just talking about a good friend of mine who just came in here a minute ago, who was talking about, you know, he spent 4 years at a job that he didn't like, that he wasn't happy at, that he wanted to go back into doing something else he did love. And now finally, after 4 years, he's like, okay, enough's enough. But he hesitated for so long. And I feel like a lot of people.
Yeah, but you know what? He did it. And he did it.
He did it.
It's. I think that it sounds crazy to say, but the I love like looking at like the hero's journey, right? Mm-hmm. Like seeing that like all these journeys and all these hero tales are very similar, and all of us. It's one of the stages of the hero's journey is the refusal of the call. Like you hear that call to adventure, the call to something greater, and then we kind of hang up the phone. We don't answer it. We'll let it ring.
We're scared.
We're scared. Yeah. And we'll just put it off. But it takes a lot of courage to do that. And if you look up in the dictionary, one of the accepted definitions of a hero is one who shows great courage.
Wow. Yeah. So you see this a lot. I'm assuming 95% of the people you talk to, they're not taking the call. They're not actually doing what they want to do. They're doing what they feel like they're supposed to or what they need to for living or expenses for their family.
The supposed to is a big one, man. That's right.
As opposed to doing what they, you know, if failure was not an option, what would they want to be doing? You know, 90 to 95% of people probably aren't doing that. So what do people need to do to like get over that fear and take that leap to the call to the adventure? What do they need to, what needs to happen?
Well,
mentally or physically or what?
Let's go back and define it for every individual. And I get out a piece of paper, write down what you want with your life, right? At the top, I mean, what do you want your life to go and look like, mm-hmm. right? And then pick that one. What is one thing right now that's keeping you from that, that if you just did, it would set you on that path? It might be quitting your job. I'm not saying that. I don't know if we, I mean, but it might. Who knows?
Might be breaking up. You know,
exactly.
It might be moving to a new city. It might be losing 30 pounds. It might be any of these things.
Any of these things.
But the key is you have to make a sacrifice, right?
Yes.
And people are not willing to sacrifice certain things.
I think that we have to also understand that, like, we've got to just. I mean, with that sacrifice, like, there's got to be a commitment. So I'll tell you what happened to me on Kilimanjaro. On the fourth day of the mountain, I was broken. And we had projected this going to take 15 days to go and reach the summit. And on the fourth day, I was like, my friends were trying to introduce me to other people. They're climbers on the mountain that heard our story and stuff like that. And I told them, I was like, I don't want to be around anybody. Like, just leave me alone. And I went inside my tent and I laid there hearing them laughing and joking outside. And I cried.
What?
I started crying because I realized at that moment, if I gave up, I was going to have to come home and tell a mom, not my mom, but another mom, a lady named Vicky, that I'd broken a promise that I made to her. And this promise was she had given me the honor of carrying her son's ashes to the top of Kilimanjaro. Mm. He'd been a Marine that had sacrificed his life to save several other Marines and had been killed in combat in May of 2011. And I laid there in that tent and I made that decision that no matter what happened to me, I refused to come home and tell her I didn't make it at the top. And the pain didn't go away, but I can tell you that something in me changed.
Wow.
And Corey Johnson, he became my why, my purpose to get to the top.
The ashes, right?
Yep, to get him there.
Right. You know, no matter how much pain you were feeling, that was your why.
And it just, you know, and it changed. And if you ask whether it's a Navy SEAL or, you know, a founder of a Fortune 500 company, I mean, or anywhere in between, I mean, like, I think that at some moment you hit that wall where you're broken.
Yeah.
And
I've felt that for sure.
Then you got to know what's your why.
Mm. What's going to keep you going? Because we're all going to feel this pain. It's like, why am I doing this? Like, why? And you have to want it so bad. You have to know with so much certainty that you're going to go through this. And one of the key things is having that. If you don't have the why, then you're going to give up. You're going to stop. So it's important to know exactly why you're doing what you're doing and why you want to reach
the greatness. Yeah, so I tell people, it's like, you know, and so with the other thing that they got to go and write down on the sheet of paper, they've already written down the limitation, the thing that they got to go and do and start. Now, why do you want this?
Exactly.
Not just because it's going to go and give you the nice car or the nice house or whatever else. I'm talking like the deeper level gut feeling that's hard to even put into words.
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. Well, with that, you guys are going to have to leave your comments on the blog of why you want what you want so badly right now. So, Kyle, what are you working on next, man? What do you got going on? Yeah, I know you got documentaries. You're doing all sorts of fun things.
Man, I'm in vacation mode right now. Vacation mode? No, it's... Yeah, it's going to be a fun journey. I'm thinking that there's some other mountains in the future that I want to go and accomplish. But even beyond that, they're
literally and
and metaphorically.
Right. Awesome.
Figuratively.
Right. That's cool, man. Well, where can people connect with you and find you online?
People, if you go and check out my website, it's kyle-maynard.com, kyle-maynard.com, and Twitter @KyleMaynard, and Facebook, just check out Kyle Maynard. And shoot me a message. It'd be great to hear some of the response from this. I look forward to it. And hearing what you're doing too, man. I am a huge fan of this. And I think that, like, so much of what people need, you know, it's you got to program yourself, right?
Right.
You got to keep filling your head with good stuff. Because once you put down one good book, like, you got to keep it going.
Keep it going, man. Well, that's why I'm doing this. Hopefully to inspire other people and inspire myself by hanging out with guys like you. So I appreciate you, my man. And make sure everyone check out Kyle Maynard online. Check out his videos. It's going to inspire you. Shoot him a message on Twitter and Facebook and leave a comment on the blog, schoolofgreatness.com. Thanks, my man.
Thanks, brother.
Again, one of the most inspiring guys that I know, Kyle Maynard. I appreciate him for coming on, and I hope you guys enjoyed his inspiring message and stories. And make sure to answer Kyle's question over on the blog at schoolofgreatness.com. We'd love to hear your answer to the question that he asked me and that I answered as well during this episode. And if you liked this episode, feel free to share it on Twitter, on Facebook. Tag a picture of where you're listening to this on Instagram with my name in there. And leave us a review over on iTunes. Let us know what you think. Let us know what we can do to make it better and how we can serve you even more. With that, guys, hope you have a fantastic week. And make sure to do something great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out.
Yada yada.
And bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/LEWIS.